So I've been thinking a lot about dating, relationships, what's going on for people who are seeking out marriage nowadays. And all I can think of is I am so glad to be married to Laura. I am so glad to be married to Laura because I feel like I am on one of the lifeboats watching the Titanic sink. And I'm just so glad I made it to safety with my wife. And I see people they're struggling, and it just fills me with a lot of sadness because I remember struggling in the same way and feeling kind of hopeless when you're discerning your vocation. And I mean, that was a long time ago, but seeing now, and then there's just a lot of dire consequences for people. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that today here on the Council of Trent podcast. Welcome. Mondays, Wednesdays, we talk apologetics and theology, but Friday, we talk about whatever I want to talk about. And today I want to talk about dating and relationships and two groups of people that fill me with sadness. And I feel like one reason they're in this sad state is because they're sort of a slave to particular kinds of expectations and desires, and they don't allow their life to be conformed to reality. They rather have some kind of desire for reality to conform to the way they want life to be. So, and this leads ultimately to sadness because you can't change reality. The only thing you can change is yourself. And a lot of times there's things about yourself you cannot change. You can't change certain determinate traits about yourself. Like if you're a guy who's shorter than average, you just can't get taller. We don't have anything like that. Or there's certain things with our appearances that may be very difficult to change or impossible to change. So the only thing we can change in those cases are attitudes that we have. And sometimes maybe you have an illness, maybe you have a disability, maybe you have a chronic condition. Things can just happen to us, and we can't change that anymore. And the only thing we can change is our attitude towards it. So that's what I wanted to talk about. So there's two groups here. So the first group would be incels. Okay, so what is an incel? Incel is short for involuntary celibate. It's a term usually given to young men. Some women try to take the term, but men really don't like that because men believe that if a woman wants to be able to have sex, to not be celibate, and that's not the correct use of the term celibate, by the way. Celibate means you're not married. So they're using celibate just to refer to sexual activity in general, not the state of being married. So these young men feel like they've been dealt a bad hand and they would like to be in a romantic relationship with a woman. They would like to be, some of them want to be married. Others just want to have sex. They just want to be in a sexual relationship. And they feel like they want that, but they cannot have that. So they are involuntarily celibate. And some of them seek solace and comfort for this situation that they're in by going on the internet, which is usually not a good idea because the internet often turns into a place for loathing, for just falling into despair, wallowing in very bad and harmful negative self-attitudes. You're just sitting in front of a screen hours and hours and hours on end. It is just not healthy for a person. And so these guys will go on there, and what they will do is they will essentially blame women. A lot of these people who identify as incels will end up in the manosphere, and they'll go in one of two directions. I talked about this in an episode with Jordan Cooper a while back. They'll try to improve their lives to get out of being an incel. That's called red pilling. You have to learn game, looks, money, to basically trick women into sleeping with you. And then there's black pilling, saying there's no hope. Nothing we do will change our situation, so we just have to resign ourselves to our fate. They become nihilistic. Oftentimes, they become misogynistic. And they just say the reason they're in such a bad place is because women are awful. Women are terrible. Women are superficial. Women only want to date the top 20% of men, the top 10% of men. All women just want the top 10%. So regular guys just, they don't stand a chance. And women are, they treat sex as if it's some kind of a resource women have an obligation to dole out. And they feel like they've been deprived of something they have a right to. And I was thinking about this more when I was reading the manifesto put out by Elliot Rodger. So Elliot Rodger was a 22-year-old who engaged in a mass shooting and stabbing spree in Isla Vista, California. That's at the university, near the University of California in Santa Barbara. And he went on this spree and just, his whole life, he is a very sad and troubled man, young man. he wrote this manifesto called My Twisted World, and he emailed it out to people before he went on his spree. And it's now available on the internet. Sociologists have done studies on it. And it's very revealing just to show the difficulties he had, that basically he was mad. He was obsessed with the idea that, you know, to prove himself as a man, he just wanted he wanted women to provide him carnal pleasure. And he wanted validation. It wasn't just the sex. He wanted to be validated, to be shown, like, I am worthy of this. Why won't you women see that I'm worthy? And he posted a lot of videos on YouTube. So I'm going to play a clip for you now of Rogers in one of these clips talking about his situation and why he feels deprived and robbed.
There are so many beautiful girls here, but none of them give me a chance. I don't know why. I don't know why you girls are so repulsed by me. It doesn't make sense. I do everything I can to appear attractive to you. Dress nice. I'm sophisticated and magnificent. I have a nice car, a BMW. Well, nicer than 90% of the people at my college. You know, I'm polite. I'm the ultimate gentleman. And yet, you girls never give me a chance. I don't know why. So many beautiful blonde-haired girls walking around everywhere. Your revealing shorts, your cascading blonde hair, your pretty faces. And I want one for a girlfriend. I want to take a girl out on a date and prove to her that I'm worthy. I want to feel that sense of being worthy of a girl's love, affection. I'm 22 years old, and I've never had a girlfriend.
Okay, so you see, he's obsessed with blonde women. He has a particular type, by the way. It seems very clear. And he's kind of an awkward guy. He's introverted. When you read his manifesto, he is very, very sensitive. Like, if he talks to a girl and a girl ignores him, he, like, goes and cries in the bathroom for an hour. He's a very, very sensitive, introverted individual. He seems awkward. Like, he thought that women, you know, he bought a bunch of expensive clothes and glasses, sunglasses. And he's like, why don't women like me? I'm wearing all these really expensive clothes. And he just fails to grasp what women actually like. Is they like that there's the irony here for many people who are incels, who identify as incels, I should say, is that what women are most repelled by are men who try to get their affection. The men who don't try to do that very hard are the most intriguing to them. The men who seem needy are the ones who are they're not attracted to. But the men who have their acts together and say, yeah, I'm living life, I do this, I have this job, I do this public service, volunteering, I have this hobby, I'm happy, I'm there for my friends, I'm nice to people, I'm kind to people, life is going great for me, whether I'm in a relationship or out of a relationship. When you have that attitude, that's actually what women are attracted to. When you're full of self-loathing and you're constantly trying to get women's attention to fill that void within yourself, well, women can sense that. And women don't want to be that. They don't want to serve that role for a guy. Nobody wants to serve that role for another person. And so he just continually went down, spiraling down this rabbit hole, blaming women for his problems. And there's an element of shallowness to it. I mean, there's a lot we could say about incel culture, Elliot Rogers, a lot of stuff's going on here. But I do also want to get to the other group, and that's women, actually. Women aren't, they're not innocent here either with their dating woes. But I notice that Rogers and a lot of these incels, they'll say, oh, well, they will say, it's not fair, women aren't attracted to me. And when they go deeper into it, when they reveal the women that they go and hit on or try to attract, it's usually women that are much more attractive than them. It's usually women, like Rogers clearly wanted the stereotypical blonde lady, long hair, curvy, thin, curvy on a thin frame. And it's clear that's what he wanted at University of California, Santa Barbara. And a lot of people go there. I mean, I have been to campus because I go to the Whatever podcast. It's located in Santa Barbara. I know why Brian of the Whatever podcast has his studio there in Santa Barbara. It's easy for him to find these stereotypical women that are around. It's kind of a party school. It's right on the beach. It's a very beautiful location. But if I had said to Rogers, like, hey, you know what? If someone was very cruel to you and rated you on a scale of 1 to 10, they might say you're a 4. You're a little below average. With the right looks and confidence, you can maybe get to 5, maybe 5.5, a little bit above average looks. But here's a girl who's really nice, and she thinks you're cute. And although you would probably say she's a 4, would you want to date her? And he would be repulsed by that. And he's also racist in the manifesto. He was just so mad to see what he described as a beautiful blonde woman with a black man, saying, why does he get that woman and I don't? This barbarian. It's just really, and this is, you could clearly see the internet poisoning him in these incel forums, a lot of racism, a lot of misogyny. So it's just very sad to see that part of the reason, not all these guys, but I think a fair number are in that position because, you know, they've bought into what Hollywood says that, oh, well, if you're a below average guy, you know, in this romantic comedy, you can get the girl who's a 9 or a 10. You know, that's like winning the lottery. I won the lottery, but my life's an exception. My life is not the rule. So that they have this kind of superficiality. And that takes me to the other thing I wanted to talk about. So I've got that group that I feel really bad for. Because I was like that when I was 16, I could not get a girl's attention. I had not been kissed by a girl. I felt like, what's wrong with me? You know, my value as a man should come from women being attracted to me. And if the internet had been around back then, like it is now, I could have easily gone down the same path. And I am so thankful to God that I wasn't. And I had to learn the hard way to say, okay, I have to change my life around, change my attitude. And I didn't have to like change my looks. I didn't bulk up or something or wear crazy clothes. I just had to get a new attitude, basically, to turn things, you know, to be able to turn things around. So that's one group that concerns me. But on the other end, with dating problems for women, so you have these young guys who feel like, you know, what am I doing? I'm lost and I'm aimless. The other group, you have women who are in their 30s, early 40s, who are going on TikTok constantly. There are YouTube channels that just collect these. They go out on TikTok and collect these. And I don't know why women do this. Women don't do this. This is such a bad idea. They basically treat TikTok like a diary. And they will record a video sharing their personal feelings, their struggles. They'll treat it as like a support group. Like, viewers, you know, what do you guys think? And they're reaching out to the world. Don't do that on the internet. Do that with a friend. Because guess what? When you do it on the internet, it's permanent. People find those videos and repost them in other places. So there's YouTube channels dedicated and full of these confessionals from women, basically, wondering, you know, why am I not married? And you got these girls in their 30s and 40s. They bought into a lie from our culture that said, hey, you don't want to get married. You want to give up your life. You should be a girl boss. Get a career. Take on the world. And, you know, but when you're ready to settle down in your 30s, you know, even early 40s, you can still get married. You'll be at the top of your game for dating. And then what happens is women will go online and realize they were sold a lie. That you'll have women in their late 30s saying, oh, I want to get married. And they meet a really nice guy who is unmarried, who is, let's say he's in his mid-30s too. And they want to find those guys who are in the mid-30s, who are successful, who are attractive, who want to settle down. But then these women realize they have to compete against girls in their mid to early 20s, you know, who maybe aren't as cynical about life. Maybe just have more of a fun disposition and are younger. And men are attracted to that. And they get mad about that when it's like, well, you're mad, but you had that same opportunity in your 20s to choose to enter into the vocation of marriage and to pursue that more than pursuing career or pursuing travel or pursuing, you know, friends and hobbies and just pouring your life into that. If marriage is so important to you, there was a time when you had a lot more opportunities to select among men. And now there's a lot more people to compete against. I know some people don't like to hear that, but that's just, and these women will go online and they'll say, why don't guys want to marry me? You know, I have a great career. I'm wealthy. I own my own home. I'm a confident woman. But a lot of guys will say, that's not what I want. I was watching a video the other day with my wife, and my wife, I love what she said is, no, I'm glad I locked you down early. She's like, girls, you got to lock that in when you can. So I was watching with Laura, and the guy in the video is basically saying that these women are baffled, saying, well, you know, why don't these women in their 30s, early 40s, 50s, why don't guys want to date me? I have all these great things. They think of male attraction in the terms of female attraction. So they think that men like in women what they like in men. Because what do they like in men? He's got a good job. He's confident. He owns his own home. He's mature. He's successful. He's emotionally, you know, all of these things. That's what those women find attractive in men. So they just assume men find that when men look for women, those are the things that attract them. Like, but I've never, during my dating experience in my early 20s, I was never like, wow, she owns her own home. That's amazing. No, guys are attracted to youth, virility, especially men who want to have large families, because after the age of 35, a woman's fertility dramatically decreases. A woman's fertility dramatically decreases. So if a guy wants to have a large family, what is his best bet to have a large family? Is it to marry a 35-year-old or to marry a 25-year-old? It's clearly a 25-year-old. So they just don't understand that as a man, I don't want to marry someone who, like, if a woman says, I'm successful, I'm rich, I own my own home, I'm career driven, I've got everything, then me as a man, I think, well, why do you need me? What do I have? I have nothing to offer you then. You have everything you want. You know,